This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Linmark Kuzuchwang and Shariat Abdullah. Now, Axiata have reiterated that there will be no job cuts as a result of their merger with Telenor. Now, to recap, Axiata and Telenor are in talks to combine their Asian operations into a new merged global entity, MergedCo, and the plan on the Malaysian front is to marry Celcom and Digi into MalaysiaCo. So President and Group CEO Tan Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim has guaranteed there will be no retrenchments as a result of the deal.
So Celcom has conducted three voluntary separation scheme exercises since 2015, and just over 350 employees opted for them. And Tan Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim, he highlighted that this merger is an equal one, and MergedCo won't be subservient to either Telenor or Axiata. He also stressed that the importance of the merger for Axiata, where with the emergence of things like cross-platform messaging and voice over internet protocol like WhatsApp, they can't afford to stay stagnant.
Yeah, also bear in mind that right now, due diligence is going on. Mm-hmm. That's going to take about 3 months. And then after that, as much as 9 months to get regulatory approvals. So it's a year away, yeah, from anything happening. But you can imagine that Tan Sri Jamal is right, because this is going to be a huge entity. It's going to span 9 countries. It's going to have 3 business divisions. There's going to be a telco operations across 9 countries, including Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, etc. There's going to be a global tower company with combined revenues of about, with a portfolio of about 60,000 towers, which may even be spun off separately. And then there's going to be a regional innovation center. So it's all hands on deck, essentially, right? And mm-hmm. I don't see anybody getting laid off unless they take a voluntary separation scheme. But even then, Celcom, the last time they had it, only 300 odd, as you say, just signed up.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for Axiata and Telenor to be combining forces like this, right? Because the global telco market isn't doing so well. We have also seen other telco mergers in the news. This is not the only big one going on. Of course, in the US, the T-Mobile and Sprint, the chairman and the US Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC, has recommended that their merger be approved. So this is after both groups agreed to make several concessions, like building a nationwide 5G network within 6 years of the merger's close and agreeing not to raise prices for 3 years. And this is a $26 billion merger. And I guess now that we're seeing news out of Huawei, and that Huawei may be shut out of the 5G networks, 5G business in the US, T-Mobile and Sprint may in effect fill that gap.
Yeah, so I mean, again, earlier we spoke about how, you know, the global telco market isn't doing too well right now. So again, it makes sense for Axiata and Digi to merge. And I guess it's the same as for T-Mobile and Sprint to go along with it. So T-Mobile are the third and the fourth biggest wireless operator in the country, and have previously been dwarfed by AT&T and Verizon.
Now, in other local news, PTPTN, the Higher Education Fund Corporation, is considering a proposal to bring back travel bans for loan defaulters. So according to PTPTN Deputy CEO Mastura Mohamad Khalid, they're also considering barring defaulters from renewing their passports, driving licenses, road taxes and their business licenses. Among the other recommendations are for the corporation to impose mandatory pay deductions, stricter enforcement and a guarantor system.
Yeah, according to the Deputy Chief Honcho, the travel ban has been PTPTN's most successful method to recover loans. And recall, recently, PTPTN chairman Wan Sai Fu, who's actually coming on the grill, I think, next Tuesday, you know, he says that about 16% of defaulters, over 350,000 people, have never made a single payment back for the loans they've taken to get their educations. They owe 2.8 million ringgit to the corporation, and nearly 70% of defaulters have not made payments in over a year. How can these guys sleep at night?
I don't know.
Probably quite peacefully.
Yeah, well, you know, that is coming up to an amount of 6.3 billion ringgit, and that's a huge amount. So this fund is going to be, you know, going to grow increasingly unsustainable. We have one cycle saying that the numbers of students requiring loans from the corporation is expected to grow. We're talking about 180,000 to 250,000 by 2040. So we're looking at big numbers of people who might be deprived of funding, you know, to pursue their education. Now, if we look back in this ban, it was lifted in 2018, and then that was last June. So PTPTN chairperson Wan Sai Fu has said announced the lifting of the travel ban, and nearly 430,000 blacklisted names were cleared with the help of the Immigration Department.
Yeah, if you look at these numbers, right, 68% of defaulters not having made payments in over a year and 16% have never made a single payment. That's 85% of the people who have taken PTPTN loans are not keeping up with their payments. So only about 15% are regularly paying. Can you imagine how terrible these 15% must feel when they see these numbers? Because essentially, this is going to impact the futures of students down the line, because if the PTPTN is no longer sustainable because they've run up 6.3 billion ringgit in unpaid loans, they're not going to be able to loan money out to other students who would desperately need it in order to get an education.
Yeah, there's also this disturbing thing that you get from the fact that university places and admissions are now easier than ever for many, many Malaysians, right? And admissions are easier, and access to funding is easy. Things are very easy, and this is unreal. This is artificial for students and young people, because the real world is not like that. The real world is where competition and meritocracy and ability and hard work and grit and meticulousness gets you through life. And when you start off life having easy access to universities, easy access to funding, not paying back your student loans, you're setting yourself up for a huge fall.
Yeah, so this is where I think that One Cypher is being tasked with a very difficult job, isn't it?
And it's very politically unpopular as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it was part of the Pakatan Manifesto.
You know, clever man.
Travel, yeah?
Yes, a clever man who is not able to, is just not going to be able to satisfy anybody, regardless whatever solution. Very clear, there has been some support with the ban lifting. And again, it's been said that, you know, it is one of the most effective ones out there. And is this tough when you keep seeing politicians disagreeing? And for an example, Syed Saddiq, who's the youth minister coming out, doesn't agree with the blacklisting when it's been proven that it's probably the most effective solution.
Yeah, and the education minister, Masli, is probably going to come out and say something as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think this is something that is definitely, that's going to pose a problem for the country going forward if we don't solve it. There is an element of civic consciousness that is lacking, I think, as well amongst our young people, because otherwise, why else wouldn't they be paying back their loans? Now, we're coming up on the 7:30 news. After that, we will have more international news for you. So be sure to keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.